You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 16. Glory to you, O Lord. From that time on, after Peter confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord! This must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Holy God, thank you for this beautiful day. We confess to you that at times we are so similar to Peter, wanting to take matters into our own hands and refusing to see the path of suffering. So God, we thank you that you saved us by your love and grace without hurting anyone. Help us to follow you and to learn how to live in peace and nonviolence. Amen. Well, a long time ago, before I was married, Sherry and I were dating. And it came to pass one summer that there was a 4th of July social gathering that Sherry hosted where she was living at the time, down by the beach in LA County. And I was invited, so I came to the party. And it was a nice time, except for one little thing. There was this other guy there who kept following Sherry around and saying things to her that I didn't like one bit. In fact, right in front of my eyes, he asked her out on a date. Have you ever had that feeling where the blood inside of you just starts to boil? I won't tell you what my reptilian brain was thinking at that point, but it wasn't good. Now, I didn't want to cause a scene or anything like that at this nice 4th of July get-together, so I waited until Sherry stepped outside. And I went up to talk to this guy that was following her around and saying things. And as I walked up to him, it became clear to me the difference between him and me. For though, although we were about the same height, he was at least 100 pounds bigger than me, and those 100 pounds were all muscle. And so as I came up to him, I thought, what am I going to say? The only thing I could say was, excuse me, I just wanted you to know that Sherry and I are dating. We're together. So you don't need to say anything else to her. And he cocked his head to the side and looked at me and he said, do we have a problem? And I said, no, there's no problem. It's just that this is Sherry's house. She's dating me. So maybe you should leave. And he looked at me and he said, I'm going to leave for a little while. And I'm going to come back. And when I get back, you better not be here. And I stood there and I watched him leave. And I felt pretty good that he left. And then I started to panic, thinking about what am I going to do when he comes back. So I can relate a little bit to Peter and our story this morning. You know, Peter had just gotten it right. He had just confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, anointed one, King of earth and heaven, Son of Man and Son of God. And yet now that Jesus explains what that entails, going to Jerusalem to suffer and even die, Peter also started to panic. No, Jesus, this is not what I had in mind when I said you were the king. For Jesus to say that he's a king and that he's going to go suffer at the hands of his enemies didn't make any sense to Peter whatsoever. If you were a king, thought Peter, then you would command your army to go and make your enemies suffer and die and clear the way for you to establish your reign. That's why Peter took Jesus aside and tried to, you know, instruct him. As we know, Jesus reprimanded Peter, saying, get behind me, Satan. You are not walking in the truth right now. Jesus wanted Peter and the disciples to understand that his kingship would be different than what they had ever seen before. He would be king of earth and heaven, but he would not do so commanding an army in the traditional sense with swords and weapons of conquest. That his rule and power would be different. You know, sometimes we think that we need the use of force or violence to get things done. And that's too bad, because the other thing that we have to realize as human beings is that we are flawed in our hearts. We are flawed by sin. So that even when we set out to try to do something good, we may not get it right. We might end up making things worse than what they are. And as Lutheran Christians, we call this works righteousness. It's a part of us that we just hang on to this idea in our head that somehow we have got to earn God's love and salvation. We have to show ourselves. We have to prove ourselves. That's how Peter was feeling. And then when you add on top of that, Peter's line of thinking that we need to show our faithfulness to God even by use of violence or force, that is a recipe for disaster. In all of our readings this morning from Jeremiah, the prophet, from Paul in Romans, and from Jesus himself according to the Gospel of Matthew. The same message is abundantly clear. God is a God of righteousness, and God will make justice and fairness come to pass in the earth. God said to Jeremiah, "Come back to me, and we will work together and bring about justice." Paul says in Romans, "Don't go out and try to get even with your enemies, but rather turn the other cheek, care for them, love them, and leave room for God to bring about vengeance," is the word in Romans, or we might also just think about in terms of justice. God will bring justice. And of course, the great quote uttered by Martin Luther King Jr., "The arc of the universe is long, but it bends toward justice." God will bring about justice. Consider even the words of Jesus this morning after he gets done reprimanding Peter, but encouraging him and the disciples to hang in there. He says, "The Son of Man," me, "is going to come with the angels in the glory of the Father. He'll repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, some of you who are standing here won't taste death until you see the Son of Man coming." That's a pretty big promise that Jesus made. Basically, "Listen, Peter, watch me and I will bring about justice. And you're going to see it before you die." Jesus said, "I will come into my kingdom." So the question is, when did that happen? And it's just like Jesus said, "I went to Jerusalem, I suffered at the hands of my enemies, I died on the cross, and I resurrected." On the cross, Jesus gives his life for us. He doesn't pick up a sword. He lays down his life and forgiveness for not just us, but for all of God's people. And he calls us to follow him in the way of the cross. Jesus asks his disciples, "If you want to be my followers, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me." Putting our faith in Jesus and God's ability to do justice better than we can do will bring justice to the earth more swiftly. So there I was, on the 4th of July, at a nice little summer get-together. And Sherry walked back into her place where she was living, and she looked at me and she said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "What do you mean? I'm fine." She said, "You don't look fine. You look all pale and kind of shaky." And I said, "Well, you know, I had to have a talk to that guy who kept, you know, talking to you. And by the way, he seems pretty angry and he might come back and there might, you know, it may not be good." And she looked at me and went, "Oh, psh, that guy? He'll do anything I tell him to do. If I say jump, he would say how high." And I looked at her and I said, "Well, then why did you let him follow you around and invite you out, you know, on a date and all that?" And so then she looked at me and she said, "Well, we've been dating for a few weeks and it's been nice and everything, but where is this going? Is this real for you? Or is this just, we're just dating?" And I said, I thought about it, and I said, "Well, it means a lot to me." And in fact, I said, I love you. And you know what she did? She gave me a kiss. She gave me a kiss. And that other guy, I never saw him again. Never seen him again. Not that day, not the day after that. I've just never seen him again. I have no, you know, wouldn't mind. But that's really something because, you know, he lived right next door. Sometimes it's not about what we do or our capacity to solve a problem the only way we think we can. Sometimes it's about showing our love and our faithfulness to God and to each other. And when we start there from a position of faith and faithfulness and love, God resolves problems and brings about justice in ways far better than we could ever imagine. So let's take up our cross and show our faithfulness to God and one another. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, and if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.